The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
All right, so before we talk about one of the greatest combinations when it comes to food ever, I want to talk about why my head was bleeding profusely yesterday.
What?
Good morning. It's a Dana Cortez Show. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So I was trying to adjust some shades inside our home. And this one shade had fallen before, a long time ago. And we had our contractor come back and adjust it or whatever. But it's always given us trouble. So I'm there trying to do something, and I pull on it, and the whole thing just comes down on my head. And we're talking about a giant, I mean, how wide would you say this thing
is? It's probably about 3 feet wide.
Was it doing that wide thing where, like, one side goes up and the other side doesn't go up, so it's not
sort of
even.
Yes, this one. Yeah.
It was coming down longer, so it wasn't even on the bottom, and it was really bothering Dana.
That's the worst. I feel that, dude.
Well, it came down on my head, and the thud that it made and the blood that was everywhere.
Oh, my God.
If you're a squeamish, if you're a queasy person, you don't want to see this video. If you're curious like me, a little weird, go to @DanaCortez on Instagram right now. At first, I kind of blacked out because I don't even remember Otto getting me. I remember the towel. I remember you freaking out.
I'm going to let her tell her side, and then I'll tell my side.
Black out like it knocked you out?
Yes, this is what happened to me. I didn't black out. I mean, but it was hard. Mm. And he says, "Are you okay?" Next thing I know, I've got a towel in my head, and it's just blood everywhere. All over the place.
Yeah,
and where Otto was freaked out, he was going, because at first it was like, we were both kind of a little giggly for not even a full second. And then when the blood was just, I mean, I'm talking, Anthony, it looked like a crime scene. It looked like a crime scene. And I was a little freaked out. But you know what I cared about most? You know what mattered to me most? That he got them spots out of that white rug. Please don't let my white rug get stained, because I couldn't bend over. The bleeding went on until well into the night. I didn't want to go to the ER because, first of all, it costs a lot of money. Second of all, they're going to shave my head. Third of all, I was like, this gash will close in.
Dana's got an open wound on the top of her
head. It's all right. Huh? It's okay. We'll live.
All right.
You know, so anyway.
Do you know what day it is?
Thursday.
Okay.
Wednesday. I really don't know. That's always. I never know what day it is.
We went through concussion protocol. Right. And I think she's okay.
Put her in a blue tent.
Yeah. So the way I saw things is Dana was having a fit because the drapes weren't charged. And so she was going around and she was trying to fix them and do everything. And I was just about to tell her, don't pull too hard on that. You might pull it down.
Boom.
And then boom, hits her on the head.
Well, you shouldn't be able to pull it down. I was not pulling
it
with force.
Right. Yeah.
I was not pulling it with force.
So at first I thought she just got hit in the head and she was bent over and I was like, ooh, that probably hurt. And then like it just started trickling. The blood started trickling down her face. And she hadn't even noticed yet. She was like, oh, my head. And I was like, you're bleeding. Wait, you're bleeding a lot.
I have like 2 points of reference for this story. One is that like Carrie, like, you remember that movie Carrie?
Yes.
That looked like that.
Oh, dang. My second is Mankind when he wrestled Undertaker and he came up all bloody. So both tough references, you know.
I was so freaked out. And then so I had to wash all the clothes, had to do everything. And then we went for a walk. We were just about to go work out. Couldn't do that. Went for a small walk. And we're at the dog park. We meet a girl there and she's got a beautiful husky like our husky, red. And then Otto is, we walk away and he's like, you have blood coming down the side
of
your
face. There's blood all over on the side of her neck, like dried
just
up.
Just rolling down. He's like, I think this woman is probably like, what is going on?
That woman probably thinks she saw a spirit.
No, she was looking for a signal from Dana, like, to get away from me.
Yeah, we need to do the hand signal. Help me, this man is hurting me. All right, so what do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
It is National Peanut Butter Fudge Day.
Some people say peanut butter and chocolate are amazing together. I think it's like one of the biggest candies, right? Reese's best-selling candies. Yeah, I don't agree.
What?
I don't agree, but hey.
Put some respect on peanut butter fudge on its day.
Okay?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
All right, so the Kardashians always go viral, but Kris Jenner's new face is really gone viral. It cost $250,000 for her facelift.
That's an expensive face.
Oh, my gosh. She does look incredible, though. She just celebrated her 70th birthday. Everybody and anybody's there, from Justin Bieber to Oprah Winfrey it's a plethora of superstars. Obviously, Kris Jenner, extremely popular, but her face is what really everyone is talking about. She looks like she did when she was younger.
She looks like she could be like Khloe's older sister.
Yes. Kim Kardashian was promoting the new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, 899. Here she is talking about her mom's face.
my mom, like everyone's talking about her face. I could retell the story. We were at Lauren Sanchez's bachelorette like dinner and we're sitting there and someone taps my mom on the shoulder. We're at a restaurant and they go, Kim. And then she comes out. She must have told this story 500 times. And I was like, and then the guy was like, oh, sorry. She is milking this. I'm so happy now I know where I can go when the time comes.
So Chris is just like, oh, you thought I was Kim? Let me tell everybody that you thought I was Kim. She just really looks beautiful. I, for one, will do whatever I need to do to feel better about myself.
That $250,000 price tag.
It's like a new age way of doing a facelift.
So it's not. No, it's called a deep plane facelift, and it's a like 30-year-old procedure.
Well, why does hers look so much better than most other people?
Because of the way it's done. There are only a handful of doctors who do a deep plane facelift. You have to really make sure that the person you're going to does this kind of work.
Because she doesn't look stretched.
Exactly.
A lot of people look stretched out.
Oh, this is so ugly to say, but the late Joan Rivers, right? She always looked so stretched out, right?
But she always made fun of it, and it was funny, though.
She did. She made fun of herself, right? Kris Jenner, if she hadn't told anybody, you'd probably know. But
oh, yeah,
not
of
really.
Course you know, because she all of a sudden looks 10 years younger.
Well, no, Emma Stone is rumored to have had one as well, and she's young.
She's like, is she even 40?
No, but everybody in Hollywood is starting to do this deep plane.
Why would she do that before she was, that doesn't even make sense.
Because fillers make you look odd.
They do.
When you start putting stuff in your face, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, I did the lip plump, and I already have full lips, but I was influenced by the gram. I was influenced, and I went and did it when I was getting my regular Botox, and I came home, and Otto, my husband here, was like, what is wrong? It cost me 4 times the amount of money to get it out of my lips than it did to put it in. And at that moment, I said to myself, I'm not going to do all this stuff. I stopped using filters. Otto told me, don't use filters. You look weird. Stop doing it.
There was this girl this weekend at the thing that I DJed at, and I couldn't tell if she was 21 or 45 because she had so much stuff in her face.
That's what's happening. So the deep plane facelift, Otto, instead of putting stuff in your face, it's putting it back where it goes. It like lifts it. You know who else? Demi Moore.
Oh yeah, because she looks so super good. Young for her age.
Now
yeah.
I wonder if the cat's out the bag a little bit about this procedure that Chris had, and it's kind of always been around. I wonder if this is going to kind of reset the market for procedures.
Probably so.
And eventually
Anthony.
That price will come down because I understand what you're saying, but nobody can afford.
It's not $250. So I started reading. This guy, Stephen Levine, don't get me wrong, he's based in Manhattan. Him and another guy, Dr. Giacono, they charge like $250,000. It's the same deep plane facelift that other surgeons are doing.
They
not
just got
everybody
the name
is
behind it.
The name behind it. They've got their name behind it. They're in Manhattan. They're doing all these things. So that's why.
What's like a reasonable price for this?
$25,000 to $55,000.
Oh wow.
So significant. Still a lot of money, right?
Way cheaper than $250.
A car or your face? Which do you want? You know, that's basically it. All right. We have some calls coming in. Line 2. We have Miss Tatiana. Tatiana, have you seen Kris Jenner's new face?
Not recently. I know. Did she change it again?
No, Tatiana. Well, I mean, it's been about 6 to 8 months she had a new facelift. Have you seen the new facelift?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but now I got to go see it now.
Tatiana, she looks so good. It's amazing. She's 70. She probably looks 50 years old. But I think the bigger question is, should anyone care, not just Kris Jenner, you or me or whomever, if you get a facelift or you have a nip tuck, breast implants, whatever, should anybody care what anyone else thinks?
No, I say go for it. Whatever you want to do at that age, like you've already lived a lot of life. Like who cares what everybody else thinks?
Yep.
I feel like go for it. Do whatever makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. And Tatiana, you have to go check it out. Go to @DanaCortez on Instagram. I'm going to put in my story here shortly. But my thing is, I still can't believe they charged her $250,000.
I think they upcharged her.
they said a Kardashian's coming upcharge. Tatiana, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. Call back anytime, girl. Bye.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. All right. So Carla's online too. Carla, have you seen Kris Jenner's new face?
I have.
What a wild question.
I know. Okay. Okay.
I mean, great, but like catfish.
Do you think it looks good, the new face after her facelift?
I mean, I feel like whatever makes her happy, I guess.
Right?
And then she's in the spotlight, and most famous people, especially them, they have like an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, everyone's trying to keep up. I mean, obviously, keeping up with the Kardashians.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, my gosh. Keeping up with the Kardashians. No, she's the head Kardashian. She's the head of the house. She's the matriarch. But $250,000, even if I was rich, I don't know if I could spend that kind of money.
And you know, some people will be out here doing whatever they have to do to go and do it because they want the best thing that's out. It's like the hot new item, you know?
So, Carla, when you get older, do you think you would do something like this? Or are you all about aging gracefully, all natural?
I kind of have mixed feelings. So this next week, I'm actually exiting my 30s.
Oh, yeah. See, now you're like, when you're 25, I would never do that. I would never do that. Here comes 30. And you're like, I would probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't think that I will. Maybe whenever you get to a point where like you have so much money and like you don't know what to do with it.
I don't know. I do remember your grandmother, Otto, Grandma Dorothy, telling me that one day she woke up and she looked in the mirror and she felt like she wasn't looking at herself anymore. She said, I don't feel old, but when I look in the mirror, I don't recognize the person looking back at me. Mm. And so maybe if that comes at the point in the time, I'm willing to inject or pull and do whatever, you know?
I'm not totally against it, like, to be honest, but I think like you said, some kind of injection, something like that, maybe in moderation.
I am the Botox queen, like, Carla. Okay, we can talk later, girl. I love you.
Okay, love you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening, Mama. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's say you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Are you spending $250,000 of that on a facelift?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm going to tell you the story today about a 10-year-old girl named Leah Lindell. She was snorkeling in Florida with her family in shallow water. You know, snorkeling, you put the little thing on, look at all the fish and everything. And they're having a good time when a 9-foot bull shark bit off her hand.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I thought I'm never going to have a hand again, but I still do.
Inside Edition talked to this family. And Leah, it is amazing how much she remembers that day.
I think I saw like its tail. And then it just let go. And then I scream out, and I see my hand just bleeding, and I knew it was shark.
I would have been freaking out. And then, remember, her family's right there, so her mom, Nadia, was swimming with her, and she describes what she saw.
Her hand flung out, and it was just a stump, and her wrist was just hanging off, and there was just blood squirting everywhere. She was 3 feet away from me. I mean, she was like right there.
Now, mom is way more upset than Leah because, I mean, that's your baby. And the way little Leah handled the whole situation, it's not surprising to me because you've read about when incidents like this happen, doesn't like some kind of adrenaline kick in or something?
And you can't even feel anything. It's almost like a...
like some kind of, what is the word we're looking for? Survival mode?
Out-of-body experience?
Maybe like a survival mechanism?
Instincts, survivor instincts.
Whatever it is, Leah had it.
She was just quiet. She wasn't screaming. She wasn't making any kind of commotion. She was just standing there, and I looked over too, and her hand, it was like, you know, it was hanging on by like a piece of skin, and it looked like it started to like go down to the ground.
So again, that was mom, Nadia, but Leah said she felt a presence, and that's what helped her survive.
I just felt like an angel just pulled me out of the water, like an angel.
And then, of course, I mean, paramedics arrive, 911 is called, she gets to the hospital, and they try to reassure her, but she's not buying it. She just doesn't believe what they're saying to her.
They told me that they are gonna put my hand back, but I didn't really believe them because, like, it's impossible.
So she had a lot of missing tissue.
But no missing bones.
Yeah, no missing bones.
And the very next day after surgery?
She moved 2 fingers.
And then the reporter at Inside Edition asked her, so do you still like sharks? And this is what Leah answered.
I love them even more because it gave me an imprint to have for the full entire life.
She's like, how are you going to put my hand back on? They did it. The next day, she's moving her fingers. She knitted, to go to that Inside Edition interview, she knitted her Barbie some clothes. She's using both hands again. Now, she is in therapy, obviously. It's going to take a while for it to be 100. I don't know that it'll ever be 100. But just the fact that she survived, the shark let go.
I can't believe she forgave that shark.
She loves sharks even more.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, dude.
I would have been giving that shark just one finger.
I would be, yeah, she's so much of a bigger person than I would be. I would be at Red Lobster every day getting my revenge, bro.
Can't You're so wrong. He let her go.
Do you think she could have
He bit her in the first place.
Yeah, but he realized, this is a person. I don't want
If it was a great white, that would have been a problem. But good thing it was just a baby shark.
Baby shark.
Baby shark. It was 9 feet. That's not a baby.
Baby shark.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Martha Stewart says she has the perfect time to have Thanksgiving dinner. Here's what she says.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, yeah. People are hungry and they're starting to circle the kitchen. You can eat and then watch the big games, you know, and then have more drinks and eat dessert later.
I disagree. I disagree. That's so early. We have Babs on the line. Okay, Babs, what's your perfect time? What time do you have Thanksgiving dinner in your home?
2 p.m.
Oh, Babs, you and Martha.
I start cooking at 2 to 3 in the morning. I serve everything completed at 2 p.m. and I walk out of the kitchen and then everybody takes over the kitchen for cleaning.
Good for you. Good
deal right there.
It's
12 hours of cooking.
Yeah, you better clean up
after Babs. I don't even have to ask them. They just automatically.
Well, I don't have Thanksgiving dinner at 2.
We usually about 5 or 6.
About 5 or 6 o'clock, yeah. I cook everything by myself because I want to. I don't want help.
Yes.
I don't want anybody else in my kitchen except for tamales. No. I want to teach my daughter a little bit on, you know, my kids how to make.
I'm going to be there for that lesson.
Okay, Babs, let's do it. Thank you so much, girlie. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Babs.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, our next caller is Marie. Marie, what's the perfect time to have Thanksgiving dinner? What do you do in your home?
I aim for 11 or 12 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Early bird here.
Because, wow.
Yes, I put my bird in at 5 a.m., and then I go to sleep for a little bit, and then I get up and start making all of the sides. I like to eat early because everybody's full. You get to chill on the couch the rest of the day, watch football, hang out with family, you know, and nobody's stressed running around like a chicken with their head cut off.
Yep.
We have a family tradition with our kids.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the night, like around 6 p.m., we go and we buy our Christmas tree.
Oh,
so that's our tradition.
That's
and we've had that. My husband and I have been together for 17 years and we've done this every year.
I guess, you know, maybe we should try something early because I was just thinking, obviously you have this beautiful tradition, but I bet you get to go seconds and thirds. You're hungry and you get to hit it again.
Yes, we eat all day.
All day. I know your stomach is all distended. You're feeling all good.
You're
leaning back. Now, who gets the final say on the tree?
My husband likes to pick the biggest, fluffiest one.
Oh.
We have 5 kids, so, you know, whatever they like, they're running around, they're trying to choose, you know, oh, this one's the best one, this one's not crooked. So,
oh, no Charlie Brown trees on your house. No Charlie Brown trees.
No.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and I hope you have a beautiful holiday dinner.
Thank you. You too.
Nobody wants a late Thanksgiving. It's just my house. Okay, Danielle's been on hold for a long time. Danielle, what's the perfect time for Thanksgiving dinner in your home?
I'm with you, Dana. It's literally dinner.
Thank you.
So 5 or 6 o'clock perfect to me. It's not a lunch. It's not a brunch. It's a dinner.
Okay. That's what I thought.
All right.
I'm I thought it was Thanksgiving dinner. I've never heard of Thanksgiving lunch.
Some people she called up with an agenda. I love your energy.
Why do you do it later? Is it because you're cooking?
Just the way my family always did it. I'm not hosting big events often. It's just, you know, my husband and I these days, our family is out of state.
Yeah.
But he does the turkey and I do everything else.
My dad would do a lot of the cooking. And one thing he always did while he was cooking, he would always have snacks that were laid out. And do you remember those things, the little smokies?
Yeah, those are like original charcuterie boards.
Yeah, he would always have the little smokies.
The little barbecue cheap weenies?
Yes, dude.
He'd always have those going on Thanksgiving so we'd have something to snack on.
Oh, Tom-O-Matic and his fine taste.
And sardines.
Danielle, thank you so much for calling. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Ariana Grande just made a huge announcement. Made me kind of sad. I'll play the audio coming up after we get celebrity birthdays. Anthony A.
Former President Joe Biden celebrating his birthday and Future celebrating birthday as well.
I love cheesecake. I love cheesecake at nighttime, real late at night.
All right, so Ariana Grande was on the Good Hang podcast. Yes, it is, with Amy Poehler. And she just casually mentioned that her next tour, this one that's coming up next year, is going to be her last. And it made me so sad.
I think it will change a lot. The last 10 or 15 years will look very different to the ones that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say any definitive things. Like, I do know that I'm very excited to do this small tour, but I think it might not happen again for a long, 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 long time.
Sure.
You know, so I'm going to give it my all and it's going to be beautiful. And I'm so grateful that I think that's why I'm doing it, because I'm like, one last hurrah.
Dang. Oh. It's like kind of like the end of an era, because she's been in that world for so long, and her singing fans, she's giving this to us in doses, like little by little. You know, she's doing a small tour. It's all about acting right now. That's what's filling her heart.
I think it's about selling some tickets. And if she says this is going to be her last tour, she can jack up the prices and sell a lot of tickets.
I don't. She doesn't need propaganda or stunts. She sells out every time. Mm. When she did Wicked, there was a spark. There was something. I saw it. She's changed as a person. If you follow her, which I'm Ariana Grande obsessed. Since she came out, since Victorious, since Sam and Cat, since The Way with Mac Miller, like I love this woman. There's something different about her after Wicked and her new friendship with Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what it is, but it's like she's grown as a person, and it singing just isn't doing it for her anymore like it used to.
Wicked really gave her the platform to combine her two favorite things, you know, with the acting and then the singing.
Singing,
it's kind
acting,
of the perfect
theater.
World for her.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if her music content will change after Wicked, because her recent project in 2019 was a little bit more grown. It was a little bit more, I'm a woman, this is what I'm into, this is my adult activities.
Yeah.
But now with Wicked, she got reintroduced to that younger audience again. So I'm really interested to see where the content goes. Regardless, it's going to be great, though.
I hope it's movies. I hope
she's
it's
a pop
acting.
Princess. She's always
going to be. She's always going to be. Look at Rihanna. We haven't heard from Rihanna musically in 10 years. Nobody cares. Everybody still loves her.
Yeah, I think that the only thing that's going to happen here is that she's going to move on. The one thing I got excited about, she said she's going to do comedies. When she used to be on Nickelodeon,
so funny.
She is funny. And so I think that that'll be a good move for her too.
Her little laugh. If you watch Victorious, you remember that, you know, people really thought she talked that way. When we first had a conversation with Ariana Grande, I only knew her with that voice. So I remember speaking to her and I mentioned it. She said, I get that all the time. People think that that's the way I talk. In Wicked, her Glinda voice, totally different. I can't wait to see her play Audrey Hepburn.
Oh.
That is her next project, and I am so excited about it.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.